This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Welcome to Kennedy Classics. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. What sort of nation do you want to leave to your children and grandchildren? Are you concerned about the direction our nation is headed in? If you're like most of us, you might be looking around wondering what can be done to get us back on track.
On today's program, we'll hear a powerful message from Dr. D. James Kennedy reminding us of the absolutely crucial role that you and I as Christians play in preserving our freedom and getting our nation in the right direction. And we'll also share with you, for the first time ever on this program, an extraordinarily powerful charge from Dr. James Dobson, shared at Dr. Kennedy's funeral.
And I'm John Sorensen. I'll be back later in the program to share with you how you can make the greatest difference in the future of our country.
And we begin today's program with one of my father's most powerful, most requested messages ever, as he calls us to spiritual arms in the battle in which we find ourselves, in his classic message, Will the Church Forget?
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We will begin our reading with the 15th verse. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And may God speak to us today through his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. My question today is, will the church forget? I don't think it will forget you unless it should be taken over by the radical liberals of the 60s who said, in a time when the world was being confronted by an increasingly aggressive and hostile communism, that they stood four square against all anti-communism. Believe it or not, those were Americans. Those were the radical liberals of the 60s. Now, some people think that that went away. It didn't go away. It simply went underground, and today they're still in our universities, but they're tenured, and they are teaching in our schools. The question I would ask today is, will the church forget what you and they and a great many thousands of others fought for, and what some gave the last full measure of devotion to defend? For the principles upon which this nation was founded, of liberty and not license, of godliness and piety and morality. This is what this nation was built upon. Will those things be forgotten? Alas, dear friends, I'm afraid that not only will they, will the church forget them? To a large degree, the church has already forgotten them. Don Wildman, a gentleman who has done an amazing job with the American Family Association, wrote about a decade ago something which I think is even more true today. He says this, quote, "Today, 4,000 innocent, precious lives of unborn babies were snuffed out, and 300,000 pulpits were silent. The networks make a mockery of Christians, the Christian faith, and Christian values with nearly every show they air. Greed, materialism, violence, sexual immorality are standard fare. Program after program, movie after movie contains anti-Christian episodes and propaganda. News articles condescendingly refer to Christians as fundamentalist right-wing, and those who speak out for the sacredness of life are extremists. And 300,000 pulpits are silent. Teenage suicide is the highest it has ever been. It's higher now than when he wrote that. Christian morality cannot be taught in the schools, but atheistic immorality can be, and 300,000 pulpits are silent. Rape has increased 700% in the last 50 years, even taking into consideration the population growth, and 300,000 pulpits are silent. Rock music fills the airwaves. This was even before rap that he said this. And our children's minds are filled with music which legitimizes rape, murder, forced sex, sadomasochism, adultery, satanic worship, and much, much more. And 300,000 pulpits are silent. Down through the centuries, churches have been the ones who have moved to get rid of most of the great evils of our world. It was through the work of Christians and churches that slavery was eliminated from Great Britain, and three-fourths of the people in the first anti-slavery meeting in New England were Christian clergymen. No, the church was not always silent. The church spoke out on issues such as child labor laws, issues such as wives being beaten and abused, and many other such things as this. The church has been responsible for getting rid of cannibalism and headhunting, the binding of feet of women in China, and numerous other terrible social issues. Prison reform, reform of asylums for the insane, and many other things the church has spoken out about. But today, that seems no longer to be the case. Recently, in a convention in a large room with people from all over the United States, the speaker asked this question. He said, "Do your pastors speak out on the great issues of our day?" And hundreds of people from churches all over the country of various denominations, not one that I saw raised his hand. Are you satisfied about the way that your pastors are addressing the great issues of our time? Not one hand went up. And I would like to turn from this congregation to do something I've never done before. And I would like to speak directly to the thousands of ministers who are watching me right now and say to you, brethren, gentlemen, God needs men who will speak out on the great issues of the day. Martin Luther said, though we be active in the battle, if we're not fighting where the battle is the hottest, we are traitors to the cause. God grant you courage. I've asked people, why do their pastors not speak out? The answer is always the same. They are afraid. Be not afraid. Christ is with you. And I believe your people will support you. Oh, that doesn't mean all of them. I will no doubt get a card or two from some of you complaining about this message. And I want you to know right now, I don't care a flip. The only thing your cards tell me is that you do not understand what the Word of God says. You don't understand what the Word of God is supposed to be accomplishing. You do not understand that you're not only to render unto God what is God's, but you're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And you do not understand that our whole culture is going to hell in a handbasket, and most people in the churches are doing nothing about it, and most preachers are very guardedly saying nothing about it. God have mercy upon us. We are literally seeing the end of Western civilization. In most of the major colleges today, there's not a single course on Western civilization. If any mention is made, it would be sloughed off with, oh, you're talking about those dead white men, European white men. Unimportant. A lot of classes on feminism, a lot of classes on homosexual rights, but nothing about Western civilization. You'll get nothing in college about the Christian foundations of this country. If the church doesn't speak out, who will? Growing a nation of pagans. Now, dear friends, I have been out there all across this country, and I have debated and confronted face-to-face and eyeball-to-eyeball the leaders of the abortionist movement, the leaders of the homosexual movement, the leaders of the feminist movement, the atheist, the evolutionist, and all of the left-wing cadre. And I want to tell you something that I've noticed about them. They are all full of passionate intensity. And as one historian said, the people who have that intensity are the people that always win. And ultimately, it is going to be a decision as to which side is the side that lacks conviction and which side is the side that is filled with passionate intensity. Intensity for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are involved in a great conflict for the soul of this nation, for the soul of the world, and many are spectators on the side. Ah, dear one, Christ wants you to be a soldier for him. Pray that God will fill you with intensity to do whatever you can to become involved, to get out of the bleachers and onto the field and become a participant in the greatest struggle in the history of the world. A struggle for goodness, a struggle for godliness, a struggle of Christ against Satan. That is the battle that we are in. I want to tell you something. You write me any letters you want about how this sermon displeased you. And I want to tell you this, that the lack of passionate intensity on the part of so many in this congregation displeases me vastly more. May we pray. Father, we pray that you will have mercy upon us. Oh God, I pray that you'll take this congregation and fill them with your Spirit. Fill them with a passionate intensity for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, for the winning of souls and the upbuilding of this nation and this world according to your teachings. Oh God, deliver us from our craven silence. Make us soldiers of Christ. Deliver us from being lukewarm, lest thou spewest us out of thy mouth. I pray it in thy name, O Christ. Amen.
Perhaps you're in agreement with much of what has been said about our nation, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can know him and the abundant life that he came to give. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again to pay for our sins and to purchase a place for us in heaven, which he offers now as an absolutely free gift. And we receive this gift by faith when we transfer our trust from our own efforts to get into heaven to what Jesus did when he died on the cross for us. If this makes sense to you and you're ready to turn your life over to the one who wants you to experience life to the full, then I can lead us in a prayer, and you can tell God what's in your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know that nothing that I do in this life can compare to the price you paid when you died on that cross for my sins. I receive the free gift of eternal life and thank you for it. Please come into my heart, cleanse me from my sins, and help me to grow in my faith. I pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer, and if you did, we have something we'd like to send you. It's a book written by Dr. Kennedy to help new believers. It's called Beginning Again. You'll learn how to read and study the Bible. There's even the Gospel of John to help you get started. You'll learn how to pray and grow in your newfound faith and much more. Just write or call our toll-free number and ask for Beginning Again. Or you can go to our website at truthinaction.org. God bless you as you do.
As you heard in my father's passionate message, you and I have a great responsibility as Christians. The church is the one and only institution founded by Jesus Christ himself, and it's the last best hope for America.
But if we are to be effective, it will require strong, biblically informed voices, like Dr. Kennedy's was, to risk unpopularity and hostility by proclaiming the truth in all its glory. We need leaders, heroes of the faith, to lead the charge.
When my father passed away in 2007, we were honored to have his good friend and fellow hero of the faith, James Dobson, deliver the eulogy at his funeral. It was a riveting message that still echoes today as the battle for marriage and for the sanctity of life continues. Dr. Dobson asks each of us, who now will answer the call?
What I will miss most from Jim Kennedy is his courage, his willingness to stand for the things that he believed. He never let criticism bother him at all. He read it, he put it aside. It was not going to change his message at all. He served the Lord's purpose for 55 years, faithfully, consistently, with fidelity. There was no scandal. There was nothing that embarrassed the name of Christ in Jim Kennedy's ministry. I talked to Ann about this 2 days ago. Jim's ministry began with a specific call from the Lord. Now, when I was a kid, ministers talked often about the call from the Lord. And you don't hear that very much anymore. It takes the divine element out of it not to acknowledge that God does call people. I mean, that's biblical. If you just look through the scriptures, what do you find? You've got Moses standing before the burning bush, and the voice of the Lord is calling him to the assignment that he was giving him. And David was out in the fields with his sheep when the message came that God had anointed him, had called him to be a king. Imagine what a shock that was. And Jonah was called to Nineveh, but he jumped on a ship and tried to get away and had a little encounter with the whale as a result. But he was running from a call when that happened. Jim, Ann tells me, fought the call for a year. And what an incredible decision that was. Think of what was at stake. He could still be giving dance lessons, but God had something better for him. And I want to tell you that I'm concerned about the church today and about other young people that are out there. Some of them may be here. Some of them are undoubtedly watching on television today, who have been fighting the call. They have not been willing to do what God has asked them to do. And there has been this tension there. Who will answer the call? God has always ordained men and women to fulfill his purposes, and I know he'll do it again. But the question is, will the younger generation heed the call? Who will defend the unborn child? Who will speak for them? Who will speak for those who are older and no longer productive? Who will plead for the Terry Schiavos of the world who can be starved to death legally for having the misfortune of being disabled? Who's got the courage to speak up? Who's going to fight for the institution of marriage, which is on the ropes today? Who will teach young people the dangers of both heterosexual and homosexual promiscuity? Anybody have the courage to talk about that? Who in the next generation will be willing to take the heat when it is so much safer and more comfortable to avoid the controversial subjects? Who's going to defend traditional morality in a culture that's sliding into moral decline? Who will call sin by its name and lead a nation to repentance and holiness? Some ministers today, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they're more inclined to edit the word of God and to boast about, quote, not being political. That charge was made against Jim Kennedy many, many times when it wasn't politics he cared about. It was morality and righteousness. They sometimes boast that they're not political, and yet they mean that they aren't willing to be vilified and disparaged for speaking the truth in love. I pray that the Lord will anoint another generation of Jim Kennedys, courageous men and women who will never waver one inch in the defense of righteousness. And I believe we're going to see these new leaders emerge in the next few years, and that the mantle handed down from my respected and loved friend will be taken up by those who are willing to die, if necessary, to defend biblical truth. We have a wonderful heritage in the Christian faith of men and women who did just that, such as Wilberforce and Bonhoeffer and Calvin and Wesley and the other great leaders of the church who impacted their times for Christ against heavy opposition. We lost one of the best of these men of faith last week. May God help the younger generation carry on the work that Dr. Jim Kennedy did so ably for more than half a century. And I pray that the gospel will continue to prosper in their hands.
As we look for the new generation who will answer Dr. Dobson's forceful call, I'm so thankful for the faithful and courageous work of my father over the decades. I saw firsthand that it wasn't always easy for him. There were many who opposed him, and he was often verbally attacked. But he craved the praise of God more than the praise of men. I'm incredibly grateful for the example he set for me and for millions of others.
And what an example he was. In Dr. Kennedy's life, he went from an unbelieving dance instructor to the most listened to Presbyterian minister in the entire world. His story is an amazing one. And we're excited to offer you perhaps the most vivid portrait of his life that we have seen yet. It is the book, The Truth That Transformed Me, The Life of D. James Kennedy by Mary Lou Davis. And we're offering it this month for the very first time when you give a generous gift toward the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org. This hardcover book is a compelling, comprehensive account of Dr. Kennedy's life story, and it reads like a vivid novel. You'll discover things you never knew about Dr. Kennedy, and you'll be encouraged and emboldened in your own life and witness. Jim Kennedy went from an unbeliever as a young man to the founder of Evangelism Explosion International, which now brings the gospel to literally every nation on earth. He founded a seminary, an enormous television and radio ministry, and the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, how we need God to raise up more leaders like this today. Who knows how the Lord might use this book in your life or the life of someone you know. Discover how the Lord turned the course of Jim Kennedy's life, making him one of the most powerful voices in the Christian world for the Lordship of Christ over every area of life. We'll send you your copy of The Truth That Transformed Me, The Life of D. James Kennedy by Mary Lou Davis as our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount. Again, simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org.
Perhaps you can give a gift of $30 or $50 or maybe even $100 or more. Every gift helps us to continue the work my father began. You want your children and grandchildren to read this book, and you'll want it to be a permanent part of your own resource library. So please contact us right away. May God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America.
A video of today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. So please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
No man has ever been more famous for what he didn't do than Patrick.
As soon as I was named, even before I was elected, the battle started.
Dr. Moeller's commitment to reforming the seminary ignited a firestorm of protest among students and faculty. That's next week. This has been a production of Truth in Action Ministries.